This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Many in Charleston are still reeling from the news that the city will only have one newspaper. On Sunday, it was announced that after a century, the Charleston Daily Mail would cease publication and the Charleston Gazette would become the Charleston Gazette Mail. After a staff meeting yesterday, it's been learned that the newsroom reporters must reapply for their positions. Should they not be rehired, they would receive a severance package. There are now only five remaining two newspaper cities that operate under a joint operating agreement, like Charleston did. They are Salt Lake City, Detroit, Las Vegas, Fort Wayne, Indiana, and York, Pennsylvania. At its peak, there were 26 JOA newspapers in cities across the country. Rick Edmonds says he's not surprised by the newspaper's move. A media business analyst for the Poynter Institute, a nonprofit school for journalists, he spoke to us from his office in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Perhaps you can translate for us, for those of us who don't speak newspaper. News of the merger comes on the expiration date of a final judgment from a settlement with the Department of Justice stemming from an antitrust suit. In a document dated July 19, 2010, the final judgment was set to expire 5 years later. So on July 19, 2015, this news happens. Can you translate? What does that mean?
Sure. Joint operating agreements were, though some of them predated this legislation, were established by federal law in 1970. And they are subject to periodic review by the Justice Department, particularly if somebody complains as to whether they're operating the way they're supposed to or whether there are antitrust implications in how they're dividing up the proceeds of the business. So I read that to say that there was an action like that 5 years ago. It was settled, and part of the agreement was that the JOA would continue for 5 years. But now that that's done, I think both sides have decided it would be better for their business, and you know they will argue better for Charleston readers to combine forces.
Why can't cities support two newspapers anymore?
Well, that's a long story, and long in the sense that it's been going on for many, many years. But the shortest answer is that the weaker paper tends to lose both circulation and particularly advertising as time goes on. So even though this arrangement is in place basically to preserve two newspapers, the sort of market forces may make it not work even under those circumstances.
What happens when a city loses its second newspaper? Is it really a problem as long as it still has one?
Well, I think that it's I think it's a significant event for a city, and of course the fact that it's relatively rare doesn't necessarily matter so much to people in town who are used to it. So, yes, there's a loss of a second angle on reporting. And in my career, I happened to work in several places where there were competing newspapers. And the reader is a beneficiary when you've got two different news staffs out there aggressively trying to find things. I think everything moves a little bit quicker. I do recognize that part of this agreement is to retain separate editorial pages, and you know that certainly goes some way to the idea of two different editorial voices.
The Gazette was considered Democrat, the Daily Mail considered Republican, and I'm surprised by this in terms of West Virginia has become a Republican state. We have a Republican legislature. We've voted for Republicans for president, and I'm surprised that the Republican paper wasn't doing better. Should I be?
Not necessarily, because I don't think editorial page stance is necessarily going to determine where people prefer to get the news. And there may be some historical reasons that that the paper that tilts Democratic was a bit stronger.
In these kinds of cases, historically, what happens to the newsrooms?
Well, I think typically there's some reduction in staff. Though even after that, you're going to have one newsroom with more writers, reporters, and editors than either paper had before. But that's part of what's not, you know, necessarily especially efficient about these arrangements, is that so it's nice to have two people covering the schools and two people covering City Hall, but that may not that won't really make sense once the operations are combined.
Rick Edmonds with the Poynter Institute, thank you so much.
Thanks, Beth.
This is West Virginia Morning at 7:49. Variable cloudiness today. Scattered rain and thunderstorms moving across the state. Temperatures will be in the 80s. Scattered rain and thunderstorms continue overnight with lows in the 50s and 60s. Mostly sunny skies on Wednesday and Thursday with daytime highs in the 70s and 80s.
Support for our weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com.
An annual summer concert series held in the mountains outside of Morgantown has become a favorite destination for musicians and fans alike. As Jesse Wright explains, the venue's high elevation often provides relief from hot and humid weather, making it a fun, family-friendly experience.
I'm going to try an original song here. This is one I wrote a couple of seasons ago on the way back from a show we played up around Ithaca, New York. On the way back, I almost fell asleep driving home. And Jamie said, "I'm good to drive if you want me to drive." And I said, "No, I'll be fine once I see the West Virginia line." And that rhyme got me thinking I could write a song out of that. And I wasted the next hour and a half on that rhyme and never even used it in the song. So. This is called West Virginia Line.
Telling stories and interacting with the crowd are what Hillbilly Gypsies frontman Trey Buckner appreciates most about the Mountain Music Concert Series at Chestnut Ridge Park. The five-piece band from Fairmont have played their brand of foot-stomping bluegrass at Chestnut Ridge almost every summer since the series began in 2004. The stage that hosts the series band sits at the bottom of an old sledding hill surrounded by tall trees, giving it the acoustic feeling of an amphitheater.
Oh, it's excellent.
That's Fred Crozier. He's the mandolin player with Halftime String Band, a three-piece acoustic group from Morgantown. Crozier says Chestnut Ridge Park is one of his favorite venues.
The sound is really good because it's kind of a bowl with the trees here, and there's a flat area down in front for dancing, and children large and small out there dancing during the shows. So it's really fun to play here and watch the crowd.
Chestnut Ridge Park and Campground is off Interstate 68, 10 miles east of Morgantown. The park is nestled up in the mountains between Cooper's Rock State Forest and the West Virginia University Research Forest, giving it an advantage over other venues during the summer.
It's always a few degrees cooler here than it is down at the bottom of the hill at Cheat Lake. It's always about 5 degrees difference.
Steve Berry and his wife Karen have been coming to the shows at Chestnut Ridge for the past 5 years. I found them among the crowd on the slope waiting for Halftime String Band to begin their show. The sledding hill is perched above a playground and pond where a lifeguard watches over the kids splashing around in the cool water. People often bring coolers and blankets to the show so they can eat dinner while enjoying the music as the sun slowly sets. Dogs are allowed as long as they're on a leash, and the hill provides a place where kids can roll around, dance, and play. Crozier says that family-focused atmosphere keeps the bands coming back year after year.
It's a great venue for all of the local bands to come and play, and there's been a more diverse lineup of bands over the years.
The concert series mainly draws on musicians from the Appalachian region who play bluegrass, newgrass, and Americana, like Romney-based Lonesome Highway. An early summer storm drenched the campground and forced Lonesome Highway to play their June show indoors this year. But for the crowd, a summer storm doesn't necessarily mean the show is over. When the weather is bad enough to keep people indoors, the park has a rain venue, the campground dining hall. The dining hall has an open layout with benches and picnic tables, but there's plenty of room for dancing, too. The wood floors and paneling seem to lend a richness to the sound that the outdoor space doesn't. Banjo player John Arnold is one of Lonesome Highway's founding members. He says he doesn't mind to play indoors.
We've been together for 19 years as a band and played music for 30 years, so we found that when rain happens or some event happens that changes where you have to do it, sometimes it's better than, you know, I love inside like this, a little more intimate, and, you know, you can kind of get involved with the crowd a little more.
The Hillbilly Gypsy's Trey Buckner says if they're outside when a storm hits, sometimes they'll keep playing anyway.
Surprisingly, we've had a few shows where, you know, a major storm front would come through. And, you know, some of the crowd would leave, but we just turned off the sound system and everybody huddled around the stage. And, you know, that really made a nice, intimate, fun, you know, for fun. The rest of the night was all acoustic, but it sure was fun to have everybody kind of huddled up around the stage. And, you know, they still danced and had a good time. The weather doesn't seem to drive anybody away.
Eleven years into the Mountain Music Concert Series, musicians like Buckner say that atmosphere, rain or shine, is what keeps it going strong. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jesse Wright in Morgantown.
Chestnut Ridge Park is planning a bluegrass festival as their final concert of the year, held on August 29th. It will feature groups like Halftime String Band, Circa Blue, Logantown, and many others. For more information about the festival, visit our website, wvpublic.org. Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. We're interested in your comments. You can send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.